make any practical difference as we go through our lives. Then Gödel's theorem sets similar limits to mathematics, the formal language of science. Mathematicians used to think that their language had some special inherent trueness that derived from the laws of logic. Now we know that what we call reason is just an arbitrary game. It's not special in the way we thought it was. And now chaos theory proves that unpredictability is built into our daily lives. It is as mundane as the rainstorm we cannot predict. And so the grand vision of science, hundreds of years old, the dream of total control, has died in our century. And with it, much of the justification, the rationale for science to do what it does, and for us to listen to it. Science has always said that it may not know everything now, but it will know eventually. But now we see that isn't true. It is an idle boast, and foolish, and as misguided as the child who jumps off a building because he believes he can fly. "This is very extreme," Hammond said, shaking his head. "We are witnessing the end of the scientific era. Science, like other outmoded systems, is destroying itself. As it gains in power, it proves itself incapable of handling the power, because things are going very fast now. 50 years ago, everyone was gaga over the atomic bomb. That was power. No one could imagine anything more. Yet a bare decade after the bomb, we began to have genetic power, and genetic power is far more potent than atomic power, and it will be in everyone's hands. It will be in kits for backyard gardeners, experiments for school children, cheap labs for terrorists and dictators, and that will force everyone to ask the same question. What should I do with my power? Which is the very question science says it cannot answer. So what will happen? Ellie said. Malcolm shrugged. A change. What kind of change? All major changes are like death, he said. You can't see the other side until you were there. And he closed his eyes. The poor man, Hammond said, shaking his head. Malcolm sighed. Do you have any idea, he said, how unlikely it is that you, or any of us, we'll get off this island alive.
Sixth iteration. System recovery may prove impossible. Ian Malcolm. Return. Its electric motor whirring, the cart raced forward down the dark underground tunnel. Grant drove his foot to the floor. The tunnel was featureless except for the occasional air vent above, shaded to protect against rainfall, and thus permitting little light to enter. But he noticed that there were crusty white animal droppings in many places. Obviously, lots of animals had been in here. Sitting beside him in the cart, Lex shone the flashlight to the back where the velociraptor lay.
Why is it having trouble breathing?
Because I shot it with a tranquilizer, he said.
Is it going to die? She said.
I hope not.
Why are we taking it?
Lex said. To prove to the people back at the center that the dinosaurs are really breeding, Grant said.
How do you know they're breeding?
Because this one is young, Grant said, and because it's a boy dinosaur.
Is it?
Lex said, peering along the flashlight beam. Yes. Now shine that light forward, will you? He held out his wrist, turning the watch to her. What does it say?
It says 10:15.
Okay.